So our scripture reading for this evening, again, is from the Gospel according to John. In chapter 19, we'll read from verse 23 to 30. John 19, from verse 23. Now hear the word of God. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, beautiful, and powerful word. So, dear church family, this morning we have seen that mercy and justice are harmonized in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because of his death, God's justice can be satisfied and his mercy is granted. Therefore, this evening, by God's grace, let's zoom in to see the moment of death of Jesus Christ from John 19, verses 28 to 30. So our theme tonight is a good and comforting death. We will address this in three points. First, Jesus died submissively. You can find from verses 28 to 30a. Second, Jesus died victoriously, which you can find in 30b. And third, Jesus died willingly, which you can find in verse 30c. So 3 points, he died submissively, he died victoriously, and he died willingly. So from the context, we know that verse 28 happened around 3 p.m. if we use the time today. Jesus, having experienced the abandonment of his father for 3 hours, after this, he knew that all things were now accomplished. He knew that God's will has been done. He knew the spiritual torment had concluded, the end of his sacrificial suffering were before him. Thus, the Bible says, he cried out, I thirst. But wait a moment. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cried out, I thirst. You might be shocked that he felt thirsty like us. Yes, it is common for us to feel thirsty because we need to hydrate. But Jesus, he did also? Yes, he did. He is the Son of God. He is truly God, but at the same time, he is truly man. He was, the Bible speaks to us, he was made unto his brethren in all things so that he could save sinners like you and me. He increased in wisdom and stature in Luke 2:52 as we do. He wearied in his body in John 4:6 as we do. He was hungry in Matthew 4:2 like we do. He slept as we do. He rejoiced. He wept, he groaned, and he sorrowed as we do. And now he says, I thirst just like we do because we live in body that gets thirsty. Dear believers, you have such a great Savior who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows your feeling and always intercede and pray for you. He cares for you. Even now he's sitting at the right hand of his Father. He always pray for you. He knows your need. Jesus Christ, who is the truly God and truly man, knows your feeling, knows your pain. After being hung on the cross for almost 6 hours, after the blood was gradually draining away, that he has suffered a great loss of fluid from the scourging and the crucifixion, he felt thirsty. However, if that all, because of Jesus' dehydration, that he asked something for drink? No. From the text, we can see that he said, I thirst, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. He did not request something to drink to make himself a little bit comfortable. He did not do that for his own sake, even though he was truly thirsty. When Jesus cried out, I thirst, he was expressing his total dependence on the Father and his willingness to submit to his will. He died submissively. Dear church family, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that a dying man hanging on the cross for 6 hours, feeling extremely sorrowful, agonizing, painful, both physically and spiritually? He experienced the great pain from the crucifixion and spiritual agony, from the abandonment of his own Father. But at the very moment, his mind is to fulfill the scripture so that his Father's will shall be done. He must make sure that all detailed prophecies of the cross would be fulfilled before he died. The promise that the Savior would be betrayed by an intimate friend in Psalm 41:9 has been fulfilled. The promise that the Savior would be mocked in Psalm 22:7-8 has been fulfilled. the promise that wicked man would gamble for the Savior's clothes in Psalm 22, verse 18, has been fulfilled. And now it comes to Psalm 96, verse 21. I will read it. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Already they had offered Jesus God to deaden his pain in Mark 15, 23. But there had been no offer of vinegar, the sour wine for his thirst. Therefore at this moment, he cried out, "I thirst," that this prophecy might be fulfilled. Dear church family, is this comforting you? Jesus died on the cross actively and submissively, crying out, "I thirst," so that anyone who believes in him will never thirsty. We never thirst because your Lord take your place. Because of his submissive word, "I thirst," on the cross, we needy sinners might drink the water of life and thirst no more forever. Charles Spurgeon speaks this way so beautifully. He says, "Our sinful tongues blistered by the fever of passion, must have burned forever had not his tongue had been tormented with thirst in our stead." Jesus Christ says in John 7:37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Dear friends, come to Jesus Christ and drink. He will not make you ashamed. Just as he faithfully fulfilled the scripture, all prophecies that it contains will come true. All the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yea and amen. He says, "I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believe on me shall never thirst." This is his promise, and his promise will be fulfilled. Come to him, needy sinners. Abide in him and drink. Drink this free water. His death is truly good and comforting because Jesus died submissively for his people. As we continue to see our text, we see that the soldier filled with sponge, with sour wine, or we will say vinegar, and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." From the other Gospels, we know that this is a loud cry. Jesus cried out loudly, "It is finished." After fulfilling the promise from Psalm 69, Jesus knew that the time is coming. It is for him to die. Thus he said, "It is finished." What a powerful and victorious cry. Dear church family, you might hear someone speak something on their deathbed. Sometimes they will say, "If only this, if only that. If only I could save some more money for my kids. If only I could listen to the advice of my doctor to take that medicine before." Indeed, so many people have regrets before their death. However, it is not the case of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not crying with many regrets. He was not crying with self-pity. It was not the despairing cry of a helpless martyr. No, it was a victorious cry. It is finished. All the work that he came from heaven to earth to do was now done. There was nothing left undone. Jesus perfectly achieved everything he has been sent into the world. The prophecies concerning his life and death has now been fulfilled, finished. Christ's earthly suffering is finished. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ is full of suffering, but now no one can give him the crown of thorns and no one can mock him. He has finished his sufferings victoriously. And the most importantly, the work of redemption is now finished. The redemption is finished. So children, do you know the meaning of redemption? So I will explain it to you. The word redemption derives from two Latin words, again and to buy. In other words, redemption means buying again or buying back. The Bible tells us that by nature we are all in the bondage of sin. We were all slaves of sin. Dear believers, when you look back to your life, I think you could relate it to this. You can be related to this fact because all you did before your regeneration is not from the faith of God. All you did is sinning against the Lord. All you did is to satisfy your own desire. You cannot do anything good before regeneration because we are not able to. We were like a prisoner, wearing handcuffs and shackles. We did not have freedom under bondage. However, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, he alone redeemed all his people from the bondage of sin. He bought back all his people from the darkness and the bondage of sin. Dear believers, you were redeemed from darkness into the kingdom of God, into the lightness, not with corruptible things, not with your money or your reputation, as Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18 to 19. You were redeemed. You were bought back with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. A lamb without blemish and without spot. You were purchased back by his finished work on the cross because he said, "It is finished." It is finished, dear believers. What a tremendous comfort for us. All your sins were blotted out by his precious blood, and all your debt which were against the Holy Father were now paid in full. Not only a part of it, but was paid in full. I think many of you have the experience of buying your cars or house on mortgage. You need to pay a certain amount every month for several years until all your debt is paid off. However, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross was not like that. He is not paying gradually. No, he paid in full for his people so that they don't need to pay for him anything by themselves. He has paid every last penny of his people's sin to God's justice, and his redemption had been fully and eternally accomplished. Dearly beloved, you don't need to work for your own salvation. No, you don't need to. You don't need to earn for your salvation because he paid in full. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died on the cross as substitute for his people who believe in him. What amazing grace. Jesus Christ died on the cross victoriously. His redemption is accomplished. The price is paid fully by his blood. The wrath of God is satisfied. The demand of justice has met. The penalty and power of sin are broken. The curse of the law is abolished. Eternal condemnation is removed. The curse of death is erased. The gate of heaven is opened. Reconciliation between God and sinner is restored. And all his people that God gave to him are saved. John Calvin puts it so beautifully. The whole accomplishment of our salvation and all the parts of it are contained in his death. What a good and comforting death that Jesus died on the cross victoriously, saying, "It is finished." It is good and comforting because he has accomplished all things for you, dear believer. All things that are necessary for your salvation. So when Jesus said, "It is finished," was he just taken up by his Father? Or did he pretend to die? No. As we see in the rest of verse 30, we see that Jesus Christ truly died on the cross. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And he did not only die, but he died willingly. This is our third point. When you look at this sentence, maybe you just think it just describes his death. However, when you meditate on this verse carefully, you will find something very incredible and profound. We know that everyone will die. Maybe, dear church family, you may see your beloved one pass away. You may find when they are on their deathbed, they're waiting for the moment. They're waiting for the moment when the Spirit departs from them. As human beings, we cannot control death. When we were terminally ill, all we can do is to wait for death to come. This is real. When the spirit departs, immediately after death, the muscle undergo primary relaxation and the head is bowed. However, our Lord Jesus did the opposite. We see from the text, he bowed his head first, then gave up the spirit. The give up the ghost all. What a powerful statement to show his power and deity. Death can do nothing to him. He was not passively waiting for death to come. No, he is not only merely man, but he is the God-man. He is the powerful Son of God who has authority and power over death. He actively, consciously, and calmly bowed his head and died. Jesus Christ, who raised the dead man from the tomb, now voluntarily died on the cross, giving up the ghost to his Father. The word translated give up is the same word that has been used to describe Jesus being handed over to his enemies in chapter 18. In other words, Jesus handed over his spirit to his Father. He surrendered his spirit to his Father willingly for his people. What a Savior we have. He did not die grudgingly. He did not die passively. He did not die hopelessly. He died voluntarily and willingly because he knew that all of his people shall be saved. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, "No one takes it from me. No one can take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Dearly beloved, Jesus Christ's death, it's truly comforting and good, isn't it? He died willingly on the cross, surrendering his spirit to his Father for all sinners who come to him, who believe in him, who surrender themselves to him. As I mentioned this morning, it is not because how good we are. No. Children, when your parents help you to do something, they're willing to help you even if it costs them time or money. Have you thought about that? Why do they do that? Why do they help you? Is that because you are too good? Is that because you are too perfect that they have to help you? No. They help you because they love you. They help you because they love you. Likewise, Jesus Christ died on the cross willingly for his people, not because his people deserve something. It is because of his love, his covenantal love toward his people. Romans 5:8, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He loved his people so much, so that he laid his life willingly on the cross, so that he gave his life a ransom for many. What a good and comforting death of Jesus Christ. Dear church family, As I conclude the sermon this evening, we see that the death of our Lord Jesus Christ is truly good and comforting for us as needy sinners. It is good and comforting because Jesus died submissively, victoriously, and willingly so that all needy sinners who have a personal relationship with Him would never be thirsty in eternal hell, but have eternal life. Dear believers, one day we will face death. However, as Heidelberg Catechism question 42 states very beautifully, that the death of a believer is now neither a punishment and a curse, nor a satisfaction for your sins, but only an abolishing of sin and a passage into eternal life because of His victorious death. Dear believers, our death in this world is now no longer a curse, but a blessing, a passage, a sanctification into the way of glorification. It is no longer a curse. Your Lord has conquered sin and death, has finished all the work for you so that you can have rest in Him. However, again, I want to ask those who do not believe in Him, is this good for you? I want to think about this evening after church service. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is His death good for you? Maybe you have heard so many times about His death, but still do not receive Him as your personal Savior. Oh friends, do not harden your heart. Your worldly success and wealth cannot quench the fire of eternal hell. Your worldly wisdom and reputation cannot help you to conquer eternal death. They cannot give you victory. They cannot give you salvation and eternal life. On the contrary, they will put you into eternal hell. Eternal death in hell. Only Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Dear friends, come. Did you see the beauty of Jesus Christ? He died for His people. What a beautiful, what a great Savior we have. So please, I urge you, I plead with you, to go home tonight, to meditate on His work on the cross, that He wants to fulfill the promise, the prophecy of Father, and He says victoriously, it is finished. Meditate on the sermon, on His word, both this morning and this evening, and bow down yourself, cry out to Him, Lord, I confess, I am such a needy sinner, Lord. I know I cannot do anything to earn my salvation, Lord. I need You this evening. I plead with You. Cry out, pray for Him. Today, We meditate all on the gospel according to John. We see Jesus as a willing Savior. We see Jesus, such a beautiful Savior. So come to Him. Come to Him. Humble yourself and pray for His help. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We give thanks to Thee for Thy word, for Thy mercy, for Thy justice that is in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, what a good and comforting death of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. He is such a tender, such a meek Lord. He came to this earth not to condemn, but to save many. He came to save those who are wicked, filthy sinners. He saved the adulterous woman. He saved the robbers. He saved the publicans. He saved filthy sinners like us today. By Thy law, we know we are all under Thy wrath. We are all under sin. But because of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, all needy sinners' sin have been forgiven, have been removed. The wrath of Heavenly Father has been satisfied. Oh Lord, help us to see the work of our Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be comforted, so all Thy people would be comforted. And also all those who do not believe in Thee can be drawn near by Thee, can cry out that I need such a Savior. Help us to meditate the work of our Lord Jesus Christ for this coming week. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.